history through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there, stories that should not go untold. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And it's amazing when we do that, we learn so much. We're educated, we're entertained, and often inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. Today, I'm in Bakersfield, California, the 95-year-old veteran of World War II, who's going to tell you a story you've never heard before. And even if we don't make it to World War II in the time we have, the story of his family growing up. Is it true, Marvin Belcher, that you have three sets of twins in your family?
Yes. I'm the eldest of three sets of boys. Twins, yes. One single boy, one single girl. We grew up in near Shawnee, Oklahoma. We were Okies. And we survived the Dust Bowl days and the Great Depression of the 30s there in Oklahoma. We eked out a living on a sharecropper farm owned by a retired school teacher who was blind at the time. And since we were not actually producing much for her share of the income, she came out and lived with us. While you might think that would not be so good, it actually was very good for me, anyway, because as a retired school teacher, even though she was blind, she had great stories and a great sense of humor, and she was good for us, and we enjoyed her. Although my younger brothers had great joy in leading her off the path on her way to the outhouse, you know.
Because she couldn't see where she was going.
I never would have done that, but my younger brothers had a lot of fun with that.
It's so unique. I'm just thinking about your family growing up. First of all, have you ever encountered anyone else with a family of not one, not two, but three sets of twin boys?
No, I have not. I'm sure there are those situations, but I have not known the people.
And there's
we had a great time, incidentally, growing up. Always a twin. For me, anyway. Well, he was larger. I was older by 28 hours. We celebrate different birthdays.
Which is unique in its own right.
Yeah. They walked me home from Johnson School. We were always living, even though at different places, always an hour and a half away from school and church, because church was right catacorner across from the school. Well, at one time, one of these Davenport boys, a little bit older than my brother and me, had my brother down on the ground, punching him in the face, you see. And so I came along and pulled him off, and he got up and says, "I'm going to knock your head off." And he delivered one. I thought he had made good on his promise. But in 1941, my dad decided, after hearing from friends who had gone to California, it seemed to be some improvement. So he decided, well, if I don't get more pay for helping bale hay down in the bottom lands of the Canadian River, we're going to go to California. Well, there was no increase in pay, so we loaded up eight kids and the parents, 10 people in a 36 Chevrolet pickup, and headed for California.
10 people in a 36 Chevrolet pickup. So yeah. You were riding in the truck bed?
Yes, we had kind of like the old pictures of the wagons, covered wagons, you know, the back of the pickup was like that, with the mattresses on the bottom. Underneath that are canned goods, what we could take along. And we had very little money to start out, but made it to my mother's uncle in Empire, California. And that was our home until we got established. My dad had charge of a peach orchard there just out of Empire. So we had a job from the beginning because of my uncle, my great uncle. So we had a very good plus at that point. We were peach pickers, and that was between my sophomore year and junior year in high school. We came to California in June of 41. The bombs were dropped on Pearl Harbor in December of 41. So immediately we were looking at war. And of course, as a junior in high school, I knew that I better get in the best situation I could get into. So I looked forward to becoming a pilot with my intensity of effort and desire. I could not pass the physical exam to become a pilot. I had high blood pressure. I was pumped. Well, first of all, it was V-12 program. That's when I messed up. My twin brother made the V-12 program, Navy training program.
Right, where you'd go to a college campus.
Yes.
And study.
He ended up going to Schenectady after Cal Berkeley and was a high-ranking executive, a salesperson with General Electric. Finally decided that sales was not his forte, so he did a little side teaching at Cal Poly Pomona. Decided he liked that so well, he would make that his career, which he did. Anyway, getting back to my story, I could not pass a physical exam. For Army Air Corps, they said my overbite was too much. The Navy Air Corps said my nose was not quite straight enough. Well, finally, the draft came along, and they couldn't find anything wrong with me. So I was drafted, and again, I applied to become a pilot. Passed all the tests, waited out here at Mentor Field in Bakersfield, outside of Bakersfield, waiting for the college phase of the training. When they decided they needed more gunners rather than pilots, so since I was drafted, they were free to change my classification. And I went for flexible gunnery school, Kingman, Arizona, became a ball turret gunner, had a wonderful crew to work with, flew our plane from Avon Park, Florida to England. We had 26 missions as a crew.
Let me ask you, there are a couple things there that I'm just curious about, and maybe I'll go in chronological order. I don't want to slow you down too much, but you mentioned early on the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression, and I'm just imagining when there's 8 kids in the family and, people are having a hard enough time taking care of one person, let alone a family of 10. Did you feel the effects of that, or there are some things that you saw then that have given you perspective on the rest of your life?
I'm sure there were things that gave me perspective. We never lacked for food. We had chickens, eggs. Sunday dinners were always chicken dinners. We had a great garden. We raised our own pigs for meat. And we had cows for milk and beef as well. And while we worked hard, occasionally we'd be able to work for a neighbor if they needed extra help. 10 hours a day for $1 a day. I was just a junior in high school at that time, but I remember those days, 10 hours a day for $1 a day. But we had a lot of fun, too, with the brothers that
sure.
I had. Interestingly, one of my favorite friends there, Robert Harp, was killed in the Army. The neighbor across the fence, Russell Paris, was killed in the Army. His best friend, the next road over, was killed. My favorite cousin, who lived with us, or with whom we lived, rather, at Empire, when he graduated from high school, he joined the Marine Corps, didn't come back.
Wow.
So there was a lot of people who did not come back from the war. I was most fortunate and took advantage of the GI Bill afterwards. If you want to go on to that segment.
Well, yeah, just a couple more questions I have as I try to understand the shoes you've walked in. When you were that kid, the oldest of the 8 kids in Oklahoma, do you remember having an ambition or a dream of, hey, someday this is what I want to do with my life? This is who I'm going to be?
Yes. Miss Emma, the retired line school teacher, and telling her stories, was telling about a relative of hers that was a cook for a restaurant. And so there were a lot of things that I looked forward to that would be better than working on the farm. So my first desire was to become a cook. Well, I never became a cook. In high school, after I got to Modesto, I decided commercial major would be good. I'd be better pushing a pencil rather than handling the hoe. So shorthand, stenography, and all of it goes with that, office practice. I was always a good student. I graduated from 8th grade with straight A's. After they found out at Modesto that even though I was in Oki, they put me in the lower classes, and I soon was able to move to college prep, which was quite a bump for me. So when I came back from the war, I attended Modesto Junior College 1 year and then thought I would become a minister. And our church, Church of the Brethren, had a college down in the south, Laverne College at the time. And I decided, that's a good move for me. While there, I took advantage of the GI Bill, of course. It didn't cost me any additional money. Free college for about 6 years, actually more than 6 years. And so I graduated from college with honors, took graduate work at Claremont Graduate School, and then on to USC. So when I came to Bakersfield, I was ahead of the class, mostly of the incoming teachers. So after 2 years of teaching sixth grade, then the next year I was with the seventh grade. The following year, I had passed the test to become a counselor and also the test to score high for principalship. So in my fourth year, I became a principal. That followed with 23 years in the principalship.
So you were a pretty young principal, weren't you?
Yes, I was. And I was a popular principal. I enjoyed it, and I was fortunate to be in a school where I had a great staff of teachers and good students, and they all seemed to have an idea that they were there to learn. So I had a good experience with elementary K-6 school. And then I was transferred to 7th and 8th grade school for the years 1960 to 1973. That was during the racial revolution, so to speak, of the 60s in Bakersfield. And while it was a challenging thing, it turned out that it was difficult to do anything right. Someone had an objection to the decision you were making. I had, at that time, threats on my life. Decided, well, this 7th and 8th grade level is not really to my liking. So I asked to go back to lower grades, to Colonel Baker School. Again, a great experience. And having done other additional work at USC, did everything except write the dissertation for the doctorate. But at that time, the popular thing in school district administration was preparing for what eventually was to be working with the unions, writing contracts and so forth. So I became a negotiator. I had more practice and more experience and more training to be a negotiator than anyone else in the district. And so while I didn't know whether I had the stomach for it, it turned out that I was able to kind of set myself above the fray, do a reasonable good job as a negotiator, and things went well for 9 years before I retired in 1985.
I'm bouncing around a little bit here. Just other things keep coming to mind. So you mentioned that you got to Modesto in June of 41. 6 months later, Pearl Harbor happens. But it seems like everyone has a memory of that. So what's yours? December 7th, 1941, where were you and how'd you find out?
Well, I was a junior in high school at that time. We had the radio. We listened intently to what was going on in Pearl Harbor. And we were in the war right away. So as a junior in high school, I figured it's just a matter of time. We're not going to get this thing settled probably before I'm out of high school. I better be thinking in terms of what I might do. I did not want to be a foot soldier. I wanted to be a pilot. So I was fortunate in a very real way to become a ball turret gunner on a B-17. I didn't have to carry the pack in Europe, you see, or in the South Pacific.
Well, some may disagree with whether or not that's fortunate to be in the ball turret, but we'll talk more about that. As far as wanting to be a pilot, was there something that had triggered that earlier, where you were exposed to aviation?
Or yes.
What
yes.
was that?
From where we lived in Oklahoma, here was the Valley View Elementary School, a mile and a half away. Just before you get to the school, off to the left was a big pasture. When we were walking to that school, maybe fifth grade, sixth grade, there was a plane that landed on that pasture because of some necessity. I'm not just sure what, but that plane was there for several days, and I was able to get up close. I was fascinated by the airplane, and that was when my interest first started, to wanting to be a pilot. Things developed from there. I wasn't a pilot, but...
Right, and since you're one of seven boys in the family, I'm curious how many of those seven ended up in the armed forces at some point.
My twin brother was a naval person. He ended up in some aspect of radio on the ship by the name of Oklahoma City, which I thought was kind of unique, mm-hmm. since we had left Oklahoma City a few miles from Oklahoma City.
So that would have been a cruiser then, if it's
yeah,
a city.
Cruiser. Uh-huh. Yeah. Next eldest brother, Roy, was also joined the Navy. And the other boys, 5 years younger than we, the oldest twins, were two young for World War II, but we were at an Empire Church, Church of the Brethren, and there was a pretty strong viewpoint of war is wrong, conscientious objection to war, which I also believed, but I joined anyway. Well, anyway, they both took positions of opposition to war. One took his alternate service in Puerto Rico, some kind of a service project, and the other was in the Army, but he was in the entertainment business and playing football. The Middleton twins were outstanding football players at Laverne,
potentially.
But he was a football player in the Army and was in this special unit of having fun rather than... This was after the war, of course.
Sure.
My dad was in the Army in the World War I, but he never got to fight. He was on this troop ship during the time of a lot of flu, you know. You remember the flu?
Spanish flu, yeah.
Yeah. And so he kind of lasted out the war, World War I, on this troop ship ready to sail, but never made it because they were dealing with the flu.
Okay.
It's kind of a strange situation, but Dad was always a very real supporter for me, and especially I remember the last thing he said to me as I boarded the bus there in Modesto. He says, "Marvin, let me tell you something. Be the best soldier in the Army." Mm. So that was a moving thing for me. It still is, even to remember it.
I can hear it.
But...
That's the kind of standard he expected you to uphold.
Yeah.
You know, another thing I wondered there is you were talking about finding out on December 7th that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. I'm guessing that back in Oklahoma you hadn't had any Japanese-American classmates, but perhaps in Modesto you did?
In fact, that was true. None in Oklahoma, but in Modesto. In fact, a bright Japanese boy rode the bus with us from Empire to Modesto to high school. Very fine boy. They had a Japanese garden and sold the product, you know, around. And very fine people sent off to concentration camps. Very unfair as we see it this day. But at that time, they were considered a risk. And so the sentiment seemed to be we got to reduce the risk, potential risk.
Yeah, the only reason I brought it up is I'm wondering how that strikes a 17-year-old kid, I guess? You know, when this guy you've been riding the bus with all of a sudden is packed up with his family and taken off his land and sent away.
Yeah, well, those things didn't seem fair, but they were beyond my control. So there was enough that was within my control to concern me, and that was where the focus was.
And we're going to hear more about that when we come back. 95-year-old Marvin Belcher of Bakersfield, California is our guest today. You'll find photos of him then and now at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook. And we're going to hear about his Army Air Corps journey when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this.